Welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast. My name is David Langiuli, and I'm here with my good friend and podcast hostess, Margaret Katz-Kan. Hey, Margaret.
Hey, David. I'm noticing that you don't feel as much like an intrepid warrior today as you do most podcasts, and I think that's important to our topic today.
Yeah, I'm feeling more like a an anxious warrior, maybe even a frightened warrior today. And warriors get to have all the whole spectrum of emotions, as we will discuss, because as you know, I'm heading into in 2 days a total knee replacement surgery. It is a planned event that this is kind of going to be, it's going to be quite disruptive in my life. And that's kind of the topic of our podcast today, planned disruptive events.
Yes. And we liked that because it's kind of an oxymoron, right? Like, how can it be
It
planned and disruptive at the same time? But I think a lot of people have things like this. I mean, obviously, there's unplanned disruption. That's a different podcast. But this
Right.
one, we just wanted to talk about those things where you know you're going to be out, or you know you're going to be dislocated, or you know something giant is going to change and shake up things in your life. And you can't
So,
stop it. Like the train is heading your way. So what do you do? How do you be with that?
how do you be with that? That's a great question. A couple of examples might be helpful here. Well, planned surgery is one example, and I have friends, and you have a good friend who've been through knee replacement surgery and
Yes, knees, all the things.
knees, hips, shoulders. You've been through that. And then you have cardiac, planned open heart surgery. Oh God. It'll crack you open from, your sternum. Well, at least that's not happening. It's a gift, Margaret. I just
It's a
found,
gift. It's a gift. It's not your heart. Yeah.
I just found the first gift. Now they're not cracking my ribs and sternum open this week. There we go.
Yeah. And it's funny how
But
there is a gift in being able to plan, right? And have your schedule clear and know that the lovely Lillian can take some time to support you. And right, like there's gifts in the planning, but it also means it's coming. And so then it also means dread, right?
Because none of these things, none of the categories of surgeries that we mentioned are pain-free. They involve the medical industrial complex, which is got it has me anxious for a whole bunch of other different reasons. And it also involves quite a bit of uncertainty both during and after the procedure.
Yeah. You know what I think might be the hardest thing for many of our listeners is who may or may not have named this for themselves, but this idea where you're about to lose a metric ton of independence, right? You're going to have to ask for help and receive help in a way that is wildly uncomfortable for so many people.
Or yes, and or a significant shift in your life. So some of these we could name and we did name before getting on the podcast, like you're heading into retirement and you know your retirement date, as some of my friends have experienced that. What was one of the other ones we
Like
mentioned?
a
Oh,
move, a
yeah.
planned relocation to a new place, a new city or country or state.
Planned relocation, except you're not the one, like maybe you're married or you have a spouse or a partner and you are the trailing spouse or partner. So it's not like you've agreed to this, but it's disrupt, and maybe your partner's really excited about it, and you maybe not so much, right?
Absolutely. You know it's coming.
You know it's coming. And And normally we talk a lot about the positive intelligence coaching methodology here on the podcast and finding those gifts and opportunities. And yeah, we just named one for me, but sometimes it's difficult ahead of time to know what the gifts or opportunities are going to be. Like it's just a big unknown, right? That's what it's a big unknown.
When you're, busy dreading and busy wondering what the pain's going to be like and busy wondering how you're going to survive weeks without exercise, like who has the bandwidth to look for a gift, right? Like dread is a pretty all-consuming state to be
Well,
in.
yeah, dread would be certainly very strong for me right now. I'd say anxious, worried. I don't know how anxious or worried. Yeah, I think anxiety, worry lives in the land of anxiety as a, as an emotion. And I'm not a ruminator. I generally don't get anxious, but I am feeling a little anxiety and worry right now, which is perfectly natural. As we like to say, all emotions are welcome. And, and when you start to just allow that to be, maybe that's, part of this journey when you know you're going into something disruptive is just to allow those emotions to be there without trying to fix them or get rid of them.
Yeah, and I think we were talking about this a little bit before that sometimes this requires being open to the fact that more than one thing can be true at the same time. I think as humans, we try to simplify, right? Like I'm just worried, that's all I am, or I just feel dread, or but I think when we have these planned events, there's more than just one thing cooking there. There might be. In your case, there's worry, but I also think there's hope, right? Like you're very hopeful that
There he is.
go away. So that's two things that are going on. And there's a certain like a third thing might just be surrender to it, right? Like it's happening.
Yeah, I was gonna say surrender. I think, we've talked about surrender in the past and on some other episodes, and it's a word that not many people in the modern culture, or maybe in any culture ever, like to use because it has this connotation of giving up. And that's not how we're using the word surrender here. We're using it more in the realm of acceptance,
Right.
right? Yeah,
This is
accept.
happening.
This is happening. This train is leaving the station on Thursday for me. I've chosen to get on this train. Even though I know that could be a derailment. Who the hell knows when you get on a train, or you get on a plane, it doesn't matter. But some people won't get on the train or the plane. Like, my father, for example, I had many, many conversations with him about getting a knee replacement. He was so bow-legged. He was in so much pain for so many years. Probably in his 70s when, I mean, when he could have done it health-wise. And he never gave me a straight answer as to his why. I just think that anyway, that was his choice. He chose to not get it done. And I saw him, I was with him in his, right up to the day he died, and he was in a lot of pain in that knee. In some ways, I'm very grateful that I'm his son. And in other ways, genetically, I'm like, come on, Pop, give me a break here. I'm getting everything from you.
Well, except you have more capacity for self-care, maybe, than
Yeah,
he did.
that's true. Yeah, I just think there's a, yeah, that was his sort of warped, in my view, this his warped view of stoicism. Like, yeah, he was just gonna take it, that was it. No, he wasn't gonna get a knee replacement. That was just not his body part. He was just like, okay, no.
I have no way of knowing whether this is going on with your dad, but I have recently had some conversations that have kind of sparked this new idea for me, or which I also have some of, but it's this idea of like medical trauma, you know, where you've had enough rough interactions where you've been really dismissed by a doctor when something was hurting and they weren't interested in listening or having a diagnosis. Sometimes people are actually hurt and injured, you know, by doctors yeah, it's a fascinating, I think sometimes people have a very deep resistance to getting medical care because they have some untreated trauma around it from past medical experiences.
And I've had my share, fair share of those. I have had not had good experiences with anesthesia and surgery in the past. And so that has my worry meter, you know, my worry meter is usually like at a low one or zero or one. I don't know. I would say it might be at about a five, maybe even high, you know, depending how much I dwell on it. And here's the thing about the mind, right? The more you catastrophize, the more worrisome the
That'll be
thoughts that
your
you're having. Yeah, the meter goes up.
So what do you do for yourself when you get to this higher level of worry? How do you
Yeah, worry, anxiety. Well, you know, your tattoo always helps. Trust everything. You know, trust that however this unfolds, you know, it's hard to say that it'll even be okay. But just trust that the unfoldment will happen. And that I'll have the resilience to deal with it. And I think that's a good lesson for any of these big life events that, you know, in the audience, if you're facing it and you might be feeling some anxiety or worry or concern about what's going to happen, you know, it's one of those things where you just don't know how it's going to unfold. And so worrying about how it's going to unfold causes suffering now. So I'm mindful of that. And staying occupied is helpful. So here we are on the podcast 2 days before the knee surgery.
That's right. Maybe we should be talking about something totally other, like to
Oh,
occupy.
no. It's good. Oh, you said something that I wanted to come back to around trauma. So it's not just, the trauma of past experiences, like known experiences, but there's something like Nancy, your friend and our colleague said about, you know, there's just surgical trauma, even though you're under your body part. I don't care if you're having open heart surgery, shoulder surgery, like you've had knee surgery, hip surgery, like Nancy's had. Your body is being traumatized.
Absolutely. This is invasive and they break things and they jam things here and there and they sew together things that do not want needles poked through the right. Like, yeah.
Yeah, that's got me like, oh, okay, I'm going to be out for this. But now the body has kind of a knowing, even though the brain is maybe offline mostly. So, oh, actually that thought has actually generated some concern and worry for me.
So now you're at a seven. So, yeah. So I wonder if it's helpful, like, you know, often not acknowledging things is a worse idea than acknowledging it. So you acknowledge it and your anxiety goes up, and then you get to think about what extra care and love is your body going to need? You know, what level of compassion?
And that goes true for these other life events, not just surgery. I think, you know, giving, as we've said many, many times, the shorthand version of compassion, because I don't think many people have a sense of what that word means, especially in the realm of self-compassion, but it's like just giving yourself a break. That's like would be a modern expression of it. Like, am I willing to give myself a break, for these next 6 to 8 weeks as I recover? Yes, I'm willing to give myself a break. Life is not going to be as usual for me. So,
Yeah.
keep coming back to that can be helpful.
But I also think this idea after surgery, going with this notion that yes, your body has sustained a trauma while you were anesthetized. How can you find extra patience? I know that's your word, and extra grace when your body's just having a temper tantrum, right? Because it's unhappy and it doesn't feel like healing on this day because it's still, recovering from somebody cutting into it with a scalpel. I mean,
Unlike what I guess I can't remember the like Mr. Garrison in South Park said, drugs are good.
not a South Park watcher, but yes.
Not in South Park, but in this scenario, drugs are good. Although I'm very, we've talked about this on the podcast here. Folks in the audience know that Margaret and I are very sensitive. That means not only around the emotional field, but also our nervous systems are very sensitive to drugs. And so actually ask the doctor, because I cannot take like oxy or any of that stuff. It just doesn't, I can't, it just can't deal with it. So he's put me on he has prescribed a pain medication for me. And just as a sample, he said, yeah, just take one of these at night, one night before, before the surgery, this was before my follow-on visit with him, and see how you do with it. I did pretty well with it. So that was good. And taking aspirin or, for blood thinner. So yeah, you got to do the things, right? You got to, just realize that there'll be some discomfort. And, yeah, I'm no stranger to discomfort, so I'm not too concerned about that. But for a lot of people, the discomfort might be a big concern.
Yeah.
So drugs are good.
Yeah. And I just keep coming up like to this metaphor of, the idea of planned disruption. I was thinking leaving a job, like knowing that you're leaving a job would be another example, right? Or having a person who's in hospice. You might not know exactly when that person is going to pass away, but it's coming.
Oh,
I
that's a
feel
big
like
one.
there are just some really important metaphors and themes from, prepping for surgery that also apply to some of these other.
Well, you and I have, you've had one parent recently who died, and I've had two, and not so recent, but not too long ago. And as much preparation as I kind of knew that these events were inevitable, and when they started to come to their conclusion, just being, just surrendering to it, that's the word.
Yeah. I'm going to name
Surrender.
the it. And I think what we need to surrender to is grief.
Grief in
I
that
don't just
case.
mean, I don't know. I think in all these cases, I think there's grief when you leave a job. There's grief, for
You
medical
leave a
procedures,
community to
trauma.
travel, cross country,
It's just,
grief about the ending of your work life,
yeah,
you know.
exactly. And
Yeah.
so that's where the surrender is maybe key,
Yeah.
in letting yourself grieve. And is it a gift to know ahead? Is it not a gift? I don't know. I can't answer that. But I think
That's a really good question.
when we push against the things that are happening, we're trying to keep the grief down underground rather than feeling it.
Yeah, that'd be a good inquiry for the audience, like an inquiry, kind of like a big wide open question, like, are you someone who would rather know or not know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, do you want to know when you're gonna die, or would you rather not know?
Yeah, would you rather have time to contemplate a hard thing, or would you rather be surprised by it?
Yeah. Really good inquiry.
And what does it mean about you, depending on your answer, right? No,
Yeah.
with no wrong, there's no wrong. I'm just curious what it might
And
say.
here's the thing. We're all going to confront things that are both planned and surprises in our lives. So I think that's a really good inquiry to leave the audience with. Like, are you more of a I'd rather be surprised person? Or are you more of I'd rather know and plan person? And when the other thing happens, how are you going to deal with it? Because it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of what which answer would you give for yourself?
I'm in the midst of the knowing the planned disruptive event in my life, and I'm feeling the some of the emotions around that. And I would probably say right now, I'd rather this thing have not known and just happened.
Yeah, that's
But
fair.
on any other day, if I had broken my leg and I was dealing with the recovery afterwards, I probably said, I wish I would have known that this was going to be happening.
Planned for it. I could have gotten some help. Could have filled my with groceries. Yeah.
It's pretty interesting. There's a different, I think there's a different valence of emotions depending on your personality. So I don't quite know. For me right now, all I know is that this is a planned disruptive event, and I'm grappling with my response to it, and just noticing some of the emotional responses that I'm having to it. And I think that's also important, whether you are a I'd rather not know and have it just happen. You're going to have to deal with the emotions afterwards.
Right. Yeah.
Right? So, either way, I think it's a good inquiry. And you and I like to talk about the emotional field because we are human beings and we do have emotions, and they are can be very, and if you feel them very strongly, they can have a lot of energy around them, you know?
Yeah. And I feel like it's obviously a completely abstract question, but my first answer is like, no, I'd rather know, because sometimes there's things you can do, right? Like there's some planning, which of course is the illusion of control, but
Yes.
nonetheless, it feels good to me to, like have time to put the out of office reply or the, again, get some food cooked ahead of time. Like those things ease. That's what I do when my worry gets up to a 5 or 6. Those are the kinds of
Right.
actions that I would take to try to, okay, this I can do, this one thing I can handle, I can make food, I can, I can do something, I can do something.
Yeah.
And that I think feels
I
good to
think
my nervous system.
that's good to, good noticing. And yet there are so many things in life that are unplanned disruptive events, and we whether we like it or not, we have to deal with those too.
Absolutely.
So I think that's a good place to leave the audience. And if you are, by the way, in the audience, and you are in the midst of experiencing a planned disruptive event in your life, one thing you can do is work with a coach and sort through these emotions as Margaret helped me do today, and actually we did right here on the podcast. So
Yeah.
that's one of the benefits of working with a coach and having a planned disrupted event. You get to seek help. Go see your therapist, contact one of us, to talk it through.
And we say as coaches that, often the thing that's happening, the to-do is that it's happening. There is there that is not an area sometimes in our lives where we have control. You have a boss that you're really struggling with. There's a long list of things that you can't change other people. You can't always change the circumstances, but coaching lives in the realm of where you almost always have choice is how to be with what's happening, you know, how to manage the worry, how to you know, show up, how to be tender with yourself. Those are the places where we have so much more choice. And that's
And I would say if you're on the other end of the spectrum, you're on the receiving end of an unplanned disruptive event, like you get fired or you get laid off, right? That's another good case to go work with a coach, because then we can help you process a different set of emotions on the other side of that.
All
So
right.
either way, reach out to one of us. That's, I guess, the if you're having a planned or unplanned disruptive event, we'd love to help you.
Yes, and we'll check in with David in a couple weeks. And I know if you're thinking about him, he'll be posting probably some parts of his journey on LinkedIn.
I
So,
will. I will. I will post. I'll do a pre-post and maybe one or two afterwards as things unfold.
yes, as they do.
All right, take care.